Hey y'all, I'm Shelby, a marketer, creative, wordsmith, and world-class talker.
And I'm Erica, a project manager, creative, interior designer, and world-class hype woman. And we are the hosts of the All Things Melanin podcast.
This is a safe space for open, honest, and transparent conversations of the norm.
We share our journey of navigating all aspects of life, and we ain't holding back. Now let's get into this week's episode.
Erica.
Hey, girl, hey.
What's good? What's popping? What's happening? What's right with you, friend?
What's right with me is I finally got back into working out again. So it has significantly improved my moods. And I'm just really glad to be back on some sort of routine with like doing physical activity. I was really, really consistent last year, and then I just fell off the end of the year. I picked it back up at a brand new gym. I've been going, for the last couple weeks or so. So I am really feeling good, getting that aggression off with my boxing class, if you know what I mean. So what about you?
I love that, friend. Make sure you send some of that motivation and energy this way, because I need it. What's right with me? I'm getting back into my I'm outside era. I have a couple trips coming up, so I'm really excited about that. For me, I think like just changing my scenery really helps improve my mood and helps me to like reset and refocus. And I think I just want to change the scenery, and I'm just excited to just get away and see something new for a little bit. So that's what I'm excited about. But yeah. But anyway, so and now that we've done our regular check-in temperature check, it's time for the question of the day before we move into the episode so we can, you know, warm up the vocals or whatever. And the question of the day is, what is something that you would like to improve about yourself or change, if any?
So the first thing that comes to mind is what God has been dealing with me about, and that is self-criticism. Okay, girl, stop being so hard on yourself. I feel like a lot of us have that to a degree. It's like we are our own worst critics. And what I mean by that is just like my progress in life. I don't mean I'm critical on like, you know, surface level things, but basically just like I always feel like I'm not doing enough, not accomplishing that goal. You could have been doing more. You should have been doing this, like just really, really hard on myself. And I just don't know where that comes from exactly, but it was very apparent to me in my prayer time with God. He was just like, he kind of interrupted my little rant and was like, yeah, I need you to stop being so hard on yourself and show myself more grace is what I'm trying to say. Like, it is okay if I'm not constantly working, accomplishing. Like, I'm not a robot. So just being able to show myself grace, like we've talked about on other shows before, like celebrating your wins along the way, like, you know, don't despise those small beginnings, stuff like that. Like, stop being so critical of what's not happening, what you could have been doing, you know. So that would be one thing that I'm actively being aware of and working on is my self-criticism, because whole time people on the outside looking in probably think I'm killing it. Whole time I'm like, girl, you ain't doing enough. So I really need to stop doing that and improve myself and look more positive at showing myself grace. So what about you? What would you improve?
First of all, you are killing it, friend. Let's just get that straight. Let's get it together. You are killing it. You have it way more together than I do. Because, baby, I am hanging on by a wink. By a wink.
Thanks.
But one thing that I am working on improving is just the ability to let go, and particularly to let go of things that I cannot change or impact or have any control over. Like, in general, I wouldn't consider myself to be a control freak, but I do like things to go a certain way, and I like to know how they're going to go and how they're going to turn out. But as we both know in life, that's just not how life works. That's not how God works. And so one of my prayers has been, God, please allow me to let go of things that I cannot control. And that are not for me, but also allow me to let go of people, places, and things that no longer serve me and that aren't supposed to be in my life. And I think it's so easy to say you want to let go, but it's so difficult to let go. Like, I'm the queen of receipts. Baby, you can tell me something in 1992 and I got the receipt. Play with somebody else. But I've realized holding on to those things is not healthy, it's not good, and it serves no purpose. And so I've just really been working on just letting any and everything go that's not for me, that's not from God, and that I cannot control. And although it is a work in progress, I can say that like it does make such a huge impact when I let go of the things, those type of things. I make room for other things that I can control or other things that I am wanting and manifesting. Because if you think about it, you only have so much quote space and capacity for certain things. And so in order for certain things to enter your life, certain things have to exit your life. So I'm just working on letting those things go.
I love that, friend. That was a whole word that I needed to hear for myself because I have that same problem and I do keep the receipts as well. So, one of the things that I do not have a problem letting go is dating and relationships. Okay. So, let's talk about love addiction. So, some of you may or may not have heard of what this is. So, I'm going to break it down to you and I'm going to let you know the signs. And then, Shelby, I just want you to give your thoughts about. Do you think this is a thing? And what is it? So, okay, is love addiction a real thing? So let's talk about it. So the definition of love addiction, it has more dependence on a partner in comparison to codependency. Love addicts expect partners to give them purpose, but are unable to receive love from their partner, which creates a lose-lose scenario. It's the feeling of intense interest in someone who shows very little interest in you. You may skip over the getting to know phase and propel yourself right into a future of undying devotion. So these are some of the signs to know if you are a love addict. So number one, you are drawn to unavailable people. Okay. Number two, you find nice people boring. Number three, you think if you try hard enough, you'll win love. Number four, you believe a relationship will rescue you. And number five, you recreate past trauma. So what you think about this, Shelby?
First of all, I think this is a really interesting concept and thing in general. But I definitely think that this is a thing. I feel like I've experienced this to a certain point with someone trying to essentially love bomb me. And that's a lot. By the time this podcast comes out, this will be a thing of the past. But if you watch season six of Love is Blind, as you were reading this is Chelsea. This is Chelsea. She has love addiction. If you don't know who Chelsea is, watch season six of Love is Blind and you will figure it out. I think it's a real thing and I think that it's deep. And for me, when I think about love addiction and from reading and from you sharing, explaining what it is, I think people who participate in this are not whole on their own and not complete on your own. I think a lot of times people assume that when you get with somebody, they're going to complete you or they're going to be the missing piece or they're going to be the thing or the person that pushes you to happiness and to all of those things. But that's not a thing for me personally. Like, I don't think that. I think that when you, a person cannot make you happy. A person cannot make you whole. A person cannot make you complete. A person cannot make you anything. Now, a person can make you feel something and a person can contribute to something, but a person is not the source of your happiness. And if you think that another individual is the source of your happiness, that's the issue and that's the problem. And you're never going to feel whole and complete. And you're going to participate in love addiction. I think the clue to having a healthy and happy relationship, in my opinion, not an expert, please take everything I say with a grain of salt, okay? I'm just saying, is that you have to be a healthy and whole person on your own. You have to find fulfillment on your own. You have to find happiness on your own. You have to find completeness on your own. on your own. I think that you, as an individual, are in charge of your own happiness. I am in charge of my happiness. I am in charge of my wholeness. I am in charge of my life to a certain extent because God is the ruler and the judge and ruler of my life, right? But like when I meet somebody, they're going to meet a whole happy and consistent person, and they're going to add to my happiness. They're going to add to my completeness. They're going to add to whatever I already have going on and multiply it, but they're not going to come in and make me who I am because I'm already who I am. And so I think that love addiction is a scary thing, and I think it's a very unhealthy and toxic thing. And I think that if you participate in it, in my opinion, you will never be happy. You will never be whole. You'll always be searching and wanting more, and nobody is going to be good enough for you. But also, I feel like that's where the jealousy and the insecurities lie and the toxicity lies. All of which I don't have time for. So I think that it is a real thing. I think it's a really sad thing. And I really pray that anybody that is experiencing this and that is kind of in this window of life recognizes it and does the inner work or seeks professional help to overcome this, because I just don't think you can be in a happy and healthy relationship and participate in these things. Like, those two things can't coexist, in my opinion. What do you think, Brit?
I think you nailed it on the head. That was another word. So I think, especially when you said it's very toxic and unhealthy, because this honestly is rooted in lack of self-love. Like you said, nobody can complete you. You have to complete yourself. And that just reminded me of how important self-love actually is and doing the work to love yourself first. And a lot of people always say that, focus on yourself, sis, but nah, focus on yourself, sis, because that is important before you bring another person into your life. And you nailed it on the head, Shelby, about someone should be adding to your life what you already have, not you wanting what they can offer you, thinking that will rescue you, or if you try hard enough, like some of these signs say. Because if you do that, you're giving away too much power when you rely on that person to make you happy, because people will also disappoint you. We're human beings. Nobody's ever going to make you happy 24/7. So how you know you're giving away too much power to that person is if your happiness relies on even something as simple as how they respond to you. If they didn't respond to you how you want them to, now your entire day is ruined. Or if they responded how you want to, now your entire day is great. Like, why do they have that much power? Like, that should not be the case. And a lot of this is rooted in people looking at the person for who they want them to be, or the situation for what they want it to be, instead of what it is. And that's a hard reality to face, but it's very, very important to realize that, especially when you're in a love addiction, you ain't even looking at what it really is. And actually, that also is rooted into holding on to the idea of a person or situation. And obviously, as human beings, we want love, we want to be loved, we want to give love, we want companionship, but we cannot force it. We cannot put our dependence on the potential of a thing. Listen, for me, you gotta already come potentched, okay? Just already be potentched. For me personally, sometimes I wonder why I attract broken men mostly, that have not done the work, or they have some past traumas that they haven't really dealt with at all. Like, they're very aware of it, but I'm a man, like, whatever. So for me, I've had someone bring to my attention, well, you might attract broken people. I can't just say men, it's broken people in general, is because you have a healing spirit. And I'm like, well, I actually try to do the work before I bring someone into my mess. And I'm also not a nurse, okay? I don't be bleeding on people when I'm going through things. I don't bleed on my man when I'm going through things. So that's just unfair to anybody for you to be not dealing with your traumas, and then you think that you can bring another person into that mess that did not cut you, and now you both bleed, if that makes sense. So, one last thing that I will say about love addiction is I think that people just go after what they're familiar with. So at the end of the day, you should always know if this ain't right. Like, nobody should tell you what's right and what's wrong. Like, you know if that situation is right or not. But a lot of us go after what we're used to, what our type is. Listen, sis, your type hasn't worked for you. And sis is me. So don't go after what is familiar. Because like one of the signs was you'll recreate traumas. So for anybody that is interested in reading more about this, I did see an article online about love addiction. It is definitely a real thing. So yeah, I just encourage everyone, focus on yourself before you bring somebody else in. That's all I would say.
Girl, that was a whole word that I didn't even know I needed, but you just wrapped that up with a bow. That was beautiful.
Thanks. All right, let's keep it moving to our next segment of the show, which is the journey. So we are going to talk about career decisions. All right. So Shelby, let's give some tips on how to determine you are making the right career move or decision in your business.
You go first.
Oh Lord. Okay. So I will speak from decisions in your business, because as a very, very new entrepreneur person, I have learned this a lot. So I will share a short story about that. So anybody that has started a small business, you know that it is very tough. And if you are building a business, build it legitimately. Okay. Build it legitimately, register your business with your state, like just do the things that you should do. Because one of my decisions in business was to make sure it's legitimate as far as that, but then also making sure that any clients that I experience, it's easy for them. You know what I mean? Like making sure that all of my back end stuff flows. So one of those decisions had to do with me having everything in place. So a short story, I had this opportunity come to me that I was so excited about because, again, I'm new at this. And it's like a lot of the times when we're new at something, we would just want to take every opportunity. And let me tell you right now, that's not necessarily the best thing to do. I know how excited we get, but it is okay to turn down some opportunities. And for me, in this case, they were not trying to pay me what I'm worth or pay me what my standard is for the service. So in that example, it was a hard decision for me because, again, I wanted to do it. I felt like it was a cool opportunity, but at the end of the day, I'm standing on business for real, because, and it is okay to do that. No matter if you are an artist, a new artist selling your artwork to an art gallery, but they're not willing to pay you what you think that your art is worth. Don't feel bad for sticking to your standards. You've heard people say yesterday's price is not today's price. To me, that means the standard is what it is. So I'm saying that to say your decisions on your business, it's okay if those opportunities don't actually align with your business or your career goals. Every opportunity, every open door is not necessarily your door, and that's okay. Another thing to help make decisions for me would be to actually write down a strategy. I would suggest to do that at the beginning of the year, and then maybe revisit it quarterly. For me, I just did one at the new, and then I pray over it. What are the goals and what is the strategies? That should help you outline what opportunities you take or shouldn't take, what decisions, what career moves. Another example for like your career moves is a lateral move. A lot of people, I don't know, how is that going to help me? Actually, lateral moves can help you pivot into a better position. And with that being said, making sure you're focusing on your lane. Because if you have too many moves that you're trying to make, that may not look like a great thing to your employer or whoever is investing in your business, because it just kind of creates chaos. So make sure you focus on your lane in that lateral move and figure out your business plan from there. So that would be my advice on decisions in your business. What would you say, Shelby?
All facts. So I'll definitely try to come from the career perspective. One thing that I will say, and that I've learned in my life and in my career, is that like, you have to like trust your gut and your intuition. Because a lot of times it is not going to lie to you. It's not going to deceive you. Like, you have to listen to your body and your mind. But I think a lot of times when we're debating on if a move is right for us, we're too scared to move or to jump or to try something new. But one thing that I believe is that if you're supposed to do something and you're supposed to move and God places that on your heart, He will make a provision and He will make a way. Now, it may not happen like you want it to happen, but if He told you to do it and He told you to move, then that's what you're supposed to do. I say that because, just to give you a quick story, there have been times in my career where I knew that I was supposed to do something different. I knew I was supposed to move, and God had been placing it on my heart to want more, about wanting more and doing more. And I didn't move, and God moved for me. And when God moves for you, it's going to be really dramatic. So I would suggest that you move on your own. I think if you're trying to determine what your right career move is, just to piggyback off of what Erica says, like write down what your ultimate career goal is and write down what that trajectory or path could look like. And even though you write it down, we all know that it could be completely different how God gets it there. But I think that you need to write the vision Habakkuk 2 and 2 and make it plain so that you can see it, so that you can visualize it, and so that you can put it into the atmosphere. And once you do that, do things that help you get to that point. To Erica's point, a lateral move is not a bad move. And one of our jobs that we had together, the only job that we have together, I don't know why I said it like that, but when we worked together, Erica and I made several lateral moves. And to most people, it did not make sense, but it made sense to us because it gave us more visibility in the organization. We got to meet more people and we got a raise. So it mattered. And so I think when you want more and God lays it on your heart, then that's a clue that you need to make a move. But I think in order to ensure if it's the right career move, you need to trust your gut, trust your intuition, write it down, and if whatever the move is aligns with what you want to do ultimately, or it can help you get there, then I think that it could possibly be a good move for you and work out for you. Because I think when it comes to career can be so unpredictable. I think, before I became a girly in the corporate world, I really used to think that my career was going to be very linear. And it has been very squiggly. It's been like a squiggly line, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in it being a squiggly line, I have gotten so much experience. I have met amazing people. I have learned things the hard way. I have grown. I have evolved. And so I think that every experience that you go through and you endure is very valuable. And I think that you got to just do what's best for you. But I think, and when you're debating if something is right for you, I think that you also have to bet on yourself in a way that is healthy and doable for you. Like, don't just jump out there and quit your job. I'm never going to advocate for that. We're never going to advocate for that. But just make sure that, like, you're doing it in a way that you feel safe and protected, or you're doing it in a way that you feel safe and comfortable with. But we're always going to be big advocates for betting on yourself, for putting yourself out there, and for making more money. Period.
I love that, especially when you made the point about linear and squiggly. Because even if you think you're making the right decision, maybe it's not the right decision, but you won't know that until you step out there and try. And so that's really what it comes down to, is stepping out there and trying. And just like everybody wants to say, stand on business. Stand on business, meaning your standards for what you want or where you see yourself going. All right, so let's move on to our mentor moment. So this is when Shelby and I will read a listener's letter, and then we're going to give our advice on it. So the letter reads, "Hi, Shelby and Erica. I have recently graduated law school, and that has always been the plan. I am the third generation to graduate law school, but my dream is to be an actor. I will always have my law degree to fall back on, but I do not have the support of my family to go after what my heart truly desires. Do you have any advice on how to go after my dreams without the support of my family?"
This is a tough one. First off, congratulations on graduating law school. That is not an easy feat. I have heard that it is very tough. So regardless if you like it or not, congratulations, because that's a big deal. This is tricky because I get it. I think that this is what I will say. This is your life. You only get one life. You know what you want to do. And I personally think that life is too short to do a job that you do not like, and that you do not enjoy, and that you do not hate, and that you don't like. That's tough. I think that sometimes our families mean well because they want us to go into these professions that pay well, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you know that you don't like it, then you don't like it, and that's okay. But know that if you go against the grain, they're not gonna like it and they're not gonna support it. I think you have to be okay with that. I think you have to learn to be okay with not having the support of them until you make it or hit it big, because everybody want to be on the train then. So if I were you, and if I were in your shoes, I do agree with you. I think that you'll always have your law degree to fall back on. I think that you can always go and use your law degree. I think that's beautiful. But I think that if you feel like you want to be an actor, then try your chops at acting and give it a shot. Or maybe you can, work as a lawyer for a couple years or a year or two, build up some money, and then go all in on your dream. Because I know with acting, you have to be available for casting calls. You have to be available to write, to do all of the things. So if I were you, and I knew acting is what I wanted to do, then I would give acting a try. But I think that if you do that, you have to go in knowing and understanding that your family is not going to be supportive. And I just think that you're going to have to be a very strong individual and standing 10 toes down on business, but also standing 10 toes down on your dream, because I think that that can get really lonely. So I just think that it's important for you to have resources or support, or essentially the mind frame that like you're really in it by yourself until you can, meet friends, get support, and all of those things. I feel like I rambled, but that's all I got. What about you, friend?
No, I think that's really, really good advice. And so I will piggyback on that. One thing that I have learned over the years is that sometimes your biggest supporters are people you don't even know. So, like Shelby said, you're gonna have to be okay with your family not really supporting you. But you will have supporters. So I guess my advice would be, maybe I won't say throw all caution to the wind and just quit doing anything in law, but because you need to have a way to support yourself, right? Especially if your family ain't gonna be supporting you, how are you gonna support yourself? So, the practical and maybe a little bit safe way that I could just think of just to kind of get your feet wet before you actually take the leap of faith is, the hobby of acting, like maybe sign up for some acting classes that can get you in that community space of acting and go from there. And that way you'll have an opportunity to network and build your community with people that want to do the same things you're doing, maybe have more experience, maybe can teach you the ropes, maybe you can find a mentor, things like that to be able to have that supportive people around you to accomplish those goals, because then you could learn how to go to auditions, how to audition, and if and what kind of acting you want to do. Like, it's so complex. So I will say that it is great that you do have your degree to fall back on if you decide that you want to change up things. But I would never discourage you from trying to go after what your heart desires, because you don't want to look back 30 years from now. You're miserable at a law firm wishing that you had tried to be an actor. So, like I said, all in all, maybe just try to get your feet wet, get into the networking space of acting and build your community like that, while you are still supporting yourself before you go all in with acting. So, if you have a question that you want us to answer, send us an email at allthingsmelanintv@gmail.com or slide in our DMs on IG at allthingsmelanin_. So today we're going to leave you with words of encouragement out of Isaiah 55:9, and it reads, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So for me, child, sometimes I just be wanting to know, God, what are your plans, your thoughts, and your ways? for my life, because I have all kind of ideas. But I know for me, my dreams and my visions are already big, so I can't even fathom what God has in store. But what I have to remember is that he said it'll be higher than your ways and thoughts. He didn't say it'd be easier. He didn't say it'd be faster. He didn't say that it wouldn't be a test of faith. It definitely is a test of faith, a test of patience. For me, it's a test of contentment. It's the battle between sowing your seed and seeing the harvest. Like, it's just a lot at the same time, but it's comforting to know that the desires that are placed in your heart are not just out of nowhere. They're not just random, but God's your little vision to yourself, God, do way more than that. So maybe you're like me and your dreams are still in little bitty seed form. But remember, seeds have to take root first. So that's what I would tell myself when it's relating to this verse. What about you, Shelby?
First off, I love that. Second off, that was a word. And third off, I really needed that. And I actually don't have a lot to add to that. But what I will say is that when I think about this Bible verse and when it comes to mind, it really just reminds me that, like, anything that I can conceive, that I can believe, that I can dream, like, it's small and minuscule in comparison to what God has dreamt up for me and what His purpose is for my life. And I just think this is a reminder that I think it's important to dream. I think it's important to believe and manifest and to do all the things, but you have to know that, like, God's plan and vision and just everything overall for you is bigger than you can ever imagine.
Amen. So, with that being said, everyone bow your head, close your eyes. If you are driving, sway with it, because we gonna pray. All right, dear God, thank you that your ways and thoughts are higher and greater. Thank you that you are an all-knowing and all-seeing God. Thank you that you know the end from the beginning, and thank you that we can trust you to lead us and guide us on the right path. I ask that you bless everyone listening right now with clarity on their next steps, with understanding, and cover us with your peace that passes all understanding. In every circumstance, every situation, every problem, we give it over to you and we lay it at your feet. We thank you in advance for handling the things that some of us may not even speak to you about. We trust you, we honor you, we love you, and we believe that we have received what we have asked for. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.